Australian intelligence agencies claim that some of our top universities could be aiding the Chinese Communist Party's mission to develop mass surveillance and military technologies. Tonight, a joint Four Corners background briefing investigation has uncovered extensive collaborations between Australian universities and Chinese entities involved in Beijing's increasingly global surveillance apparatus. Sean Rubenstein Dunlop is the reporter for Four Corners, and Mario Christodoulou is the reporter for Background Briefing. So, gentlemen, welcome to you both.
Thank you so much.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, Sean, universities are always looking to build research partnerships with companies. These are essential funding sources and presumably also a source of knowledge growth. What have you found is so troubling about the relationships that they're building with Chinese interests?
Well, you'd have to say Australian universities have been enormously successful in the past decade at building relationships with China. They're now raking in billions of dollars in international student fees and tens of millions at various universities from Chinese companies and even government organisations. But the issue here is that Beijing is running a surveillance state. It's implicated in human rights abuses on an industrial scale in the province of Xinjiang, where ethnic minority Uyghurs are being surveilled and monitored. And we're seeing the Chinese Communist Party exporting these technologies across the world. Now, many of Australia's leading universities are involved in developing those technologies, surveillance technologies and military technologies with companies and organisations that are working on China's surveillance state, some of which were blacklisted as recently as last week by the US government.
So just so that I've got it clear, so it's under this Xi Jinping reign, is it? Like, this might have been used for the development of genuine new technologies, and which would be completely, I suppose, in everyone's interest. But are you saying that it's being applied at the moment under the current regime in a way that should cause us trouble?
Well, we've seen strong evidence of China's application of artificial intelligence technologies, facial recognition, among other things, to surveil and monitor Uyghurs who are being placed in re-education camps, and we're seeing some of those technologies exported across the world. One of the companies we looked at is called Haiyun Data. It is providing technology to the Public Security Bureau in Xinjiang, and is also doing a research collaboration with UTS. That's one of many examples.
Now, in fact, I think UTS has actually said to us that the research conducted as part of its collaboration with CETC, I don't know whether that's the one you're talking about, different company completely, it was not and could not have been used in the app allegedly provided by that company to police in Xinjiang for monitoring Uyghurs. So we did not work on that app, and you're accepting that, are you?
So a couple of months ago, you would have heard on a recent Four Corners that UTS was involved in a $10 million deal with this Chinese state-owned military company, CETC, separate from the collaboration I just mentioned. Now, that company, CETC, had created an app that was used to monitor Uyghurs in Xinjiang. And UTS, among several projects with that company, was working on public security video analysis with CETC. Now, after a review, they've decided to ditch that program. We've discovered that they're actually abandoning two other projects with this company because of concerns raised by the Defense Department, and UTS has acknowledged that they need to ramp up their due diligence and look into companies like CETC, which have strong links to human rights abuses in Xinjiang and the Chinese military itself.
I will come to you, Mario, in a moment. But how much control, I mean, obviously this is central, how much control do we retain over what research is done and what it's used for?
Look, Australia has an open research environment. Academics are free to seek collaborations, and that is what's allowed our tertiary sector to thrive and prosper for decades and decades. They are subject to a defence department.
Well, presumably it allows all sorts of doctoral involvement and interaction, all the things we're told that smart countries do.
That's right. And our brightest minds are largely free to seek collaborations around the world with their counterparts, wherever they may be. But they are subject to defence department regulations. There's a Defence Trade Controls Act, which limits what technologies we can export around the world. The issue here, though, is that artificial intelligence is moving at such a cracking pace. Okay. We can't keep on top of those developments, and it's artificial intelligence that is driving this mass surveillance and even espionage technology.
Well, that's a beautiful segue to Mario, because in your report, which I listened to yesterday, Background Briefing, you zeroed in on the activities and funding of Australia's peak Chinese student body, the Chinese Students and Scholars Association. What is it? What does it do? Why does it worry you?
So the Chinese Students and Scholars Association is sort of a national body with sort of branches in every state. And we took a particular look at the Canberra branch, the CSSA ACT, as it's called. It is a body that sort of helps with the integration of students, Chinese students, when they come to Australia. But what really interested us about it was that it has a history of sort of peddling Chinese-focused issues on campus, at times trying to silence debate on some of those sticky issues that Australia disagrees with on China, Tibet, and other issues. And I guess when you actually look at the documents that found the group, what jumped out at us is that it has very established links to the Chinese embassy in Canberra. For example, it has to regularly report to the embassy in Canberra. All Chinese students are automatically members of this group. And when you combine that with the activities that this group's been involved with in the past and some of the accusations leveled at this group, it really does come across as if this group may in part be helping to sort of propagate the Chinese worldview on Australian campuses.
In a way that's coercive, is it? I mean, I suppose in terms of the interests of, you know, being fair and balanced, there's a sense that they are definitely stepping outside the boundaries that you would have expected when you went into that story?
Well, I think what universities treasure most is their academic freedom and freedom of expression on campus. And there have been incidents with this specific group, but also offshoots of this group internationally and in other parts of Australia, where when there are those sensitive issues that arise, things like Tibet, things like the Falun Gong movement, members of this group, the CSSA, will step in and take a very aggressive approach, I guess, in seeking to silence those people who might have an alternative opinion. And in fact, I mean, we've all seen the Hong Kong protests on campus recently, people wearing masks, and that is really out of a fear that they will be identified and that might have repercussions for family back home in China, back home in Hong Kong. And when you add to that the fact that there is this group with very, very close ties to the embassy who are out there and, you know, you can see, I guess, how students might be scared to protest or voice their view on something that might not be in China's interests.
That's certainly what some of them say.
Okay. Well, look, thank you both very much indeed, and good to have you join us.
Thanks for having us.
Sean Rubenstein Dunlop, who you can see his red flags on Four Corners tonight, or you can hear Background Briefing, of course, on your ABC Radio app.